I'm going to talk to you today, friends, about the whole duty of man is summed up in obedience to God's will. How many of you guys are here today because you really desire to obey God? If you are here because of the breakfast in the morning, okay, but this is not the main point. If you are here because of the worship, by the way, amazing worship, Josh, well done. Okay, fine, but this is not the main point still. But if you are here today because you want to learn more from God in how to obey His will, you are in the right place. Could you tell somebody, if you want to obey God, tell somebody please, if you want to obey God, you are in the right place. Amen? And when we say obey God, is at any cost. Some people say, Lord, I can obey you as long as I understand what you are asking me to do. I'm sorry, sometimes he's not going to reveal in that point. Why, Pastor, he doesn't reveal everything for me? It's because he wants to see you exercising faith. If you know everything ahead, you don't need faith. You know what's going to happen. Could you watch a series if you know the last chapter, the last episode? There is no point. I was very excited watching a few years ago. I watched the Downton Abbey. Very nice series. Very nice. And now they are...
Make the movie.
Yeah, they make the movie. I'm excited to go also, to see everything in one day. Because I was very excited and praying for Mrs. Bates, Mr. Bates. He was a good man. So if you know the end, what is the point to watch something, you know? So, when we exercise faith, it's actually when you don't know the next step, but you do this anyway, because God said to you, go. Amen? We're going to be talking about a guy who was called Abram, and God changed his name for Abraham. And God said once for him, before he had his name changed, God said to him, Abram, get your stuff and leave. Lord, my friends, my family is all in Hamel. No, leave. To what place, Lord? Could you tell me? No, just leave. Lord, I need, the stuff now is in my hand. I need to put the postcode there. No, just turn on the car. Get inside and go. It's a bit crazy, isn't it? Could you tell somebody, God is crazy sometimes? Actually, he's testing your obedience. Because if he says everything that is going to happen, you don't need faith. You just need to decide, obey or not obey. But you know everything. But when he said, do this, and I'm not going to tell you anything else, this is faith. So because this is a very long reading, we're going to read in Genesis chapter 22. Please prepare the video. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 19. So it's going to be 18 verses. Just to avoid any stumble in some words, because English is not my first language, I always ask for a long passage. I ask Jay to prepare a video. And we have this video now. Can we see it? Amen? So, Genesis 22:1-19. We are going to read New King James Version, okay? I love this noise.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham.
Abraham, here I am. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men,
stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Then we will come back to you.
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father.
My father.
Here I am, my son.
Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.
So the two of them went together, and they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven,
Abraham, Abraham.
Here I am. Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.
Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven.
By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies.
Amen.
In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba.
Amen.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Bobby. Amen. Amazing, isn't it? I love the soundtrack. Gives more life into the passage. So when Abraham was 75 years old, he received a promise from God that he would become a great nation. Remember that? His wife was sterile and also very old like him. 25 years later, Sarah, who was sterile, gave birth a son who Abraham called Isaac. God never forgets his promises. As Abraham was 100 years old, and he became father. When God says, I will do it, he will do it. Abraham lived 175 years, and Sarah 127, without Mary Kay.
Why are you looking at me?
Without any reserves. Both of them saw God's promises fulfilled in their lives because they just believed. Say with me, they just. Say with me, they just believed. Amen. So friends, before we consider anything, we must know two important principles. Please, learn about it. God tests someone who he loves. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Or ouch, man. Sometimes it's hard to hear things like this, you know? God tests those who he loves. And second principle, he always requires from us valuable things. God will never require something from you that doesn't mean anything for you. Okay? So let's consider something in this man of God called Abraham in that point. He was called Abram, and God changed his name to Abraham. That means a father of many nations. It's quite a joke also. God gave him a name, a father of many nations, and his wife was sterile. And both very old. What a funny promise God made to them. But as I said, if God promised something, he will do it. Could you tell somebody, God will do it? Okay? So just to illustrate this amazing life of faith, in the New Testament, because this passage was, of course, in Genesis, it's the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, James said something very important in his letter, in the chapter 2, verse 23. And he said, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Amen?
Amen?
So when you obey God unconditionally, when you hear his voice and go after it, when you obey him with no restrictions, you can be called a friend of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's learn some principles from this passage. I'm going to spend an hour and a half today. So let's learn from the way Abraham led himself. Just have a few minutes. Number one, Abraham obeyed God with no restrictions. Amen?
Amen.
What does it mean? He didn't give any limitation for his obedience. He didn't say to God, God, if you ask me some reasonable thing, I can do. But please, don't be mad on me. Don't ask me to do crazy stuff because I cannot do this. Do you know health and safety, God? Yeah, I'm very healthy and safe. I need to do exactly, you know, in the measure that should be. So in the verse 3, we can see, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men, his servants, with him and Isaac, his son. Because God said to him, go to the mountain and offer me your son, your only son. But he could say, Lord, you said to me, I'm going to be a great nation. My wife was sterile. And finally, we had a son. Only one son. And now you are asking me for this son. To ask one son from Rose, for example, she could say, oh, wow, I have 6, 5.
10, 20, who knows?
You are blessed. I'm going to have one more. I don't know. We never know.
Well, she doesn't get very well.
Was she saying one more? No,
this is not a prophecy, okay? Just a suggestion.
Okay, good.
Because I love kids. But for Abraham, he had a promise to be a great nation, and he had just one son. And God asked him, give me your son. Abraham had no difficult friends to obey God. Once he used to have intimacy with his God. When we have intimacy with God, we have no difficulty to see or to do any crazy stuff. Because I'm sure in Abraham's heart was so heavy that requirement. But he said, I know my God. And as soon as I obey him and kill my son, he is totally powerful to resurrect him, to give him back to me in even better than he is now. And also, God is so powerful that he can give Isaac some anesthetic, that when I put my knife on him, I think I changed the program here. He will not feel any pain when I set the knife inside of him. So he thought so many things that obeying God, God will provide behind of this. Friend, let me tell you something. When God requires something from you, just obey and do it. Don't ask anything. Because if he didn't say anything, it's because he's trying to prove your faith. And he will provide, in the end of the road, he will provide everything for you. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Obedience sometimes requires sacrifice, but also brings a reward. How many of you love reward? Okay? So how can you receive a medal if you do not do the race? How can you desire the podium if you don't go the race? You must be proved to be approved. Did you get it?
Yes.
We must be proved to be approved by God. Yeah. Amen? So number 2, Isaac. In this passage we learn some different stuff. And here, number 2, Isaac did the service checklist. Look at this. I'm amazed about it. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, look the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We are taking the fire. We are taking the wood. But where is the lamb? The boy said it. What does it mean, friends? Isaac used to know everything that happened in the service. That means every time Abraham went to serve God, to worship the Lord, he took his son. This is a lesson. Never come to church and leave your boy, your girl at home watching TV. Hello? Can I keep talking? I have three children. And they were like a baby one day. Some people, they think they were born like this. No. We went through this situation, Josh. We went through this, you know, to see them going to the
Sunday school.
We went into all this process as a parent. Okay? But when I was in the church practicing for the worship, my kids were there, laying down on the carpet, on the stage, somewhere. When we were in a prayer vigil, they were there, in some place, laying down. When we were in the service, they were there. Sometimes sleeping, sometimes running around, but they were always there. That's why today I don't need to tell them what to do. If you're not here on Sunday morning, I know Josh and Vanessa, Gaz and Babi, they can lead the service. Why? Because they were brought up in this environment. They know everything. They do a checklist every Sunday morning. So never leave your kid at home. Never. And your wife. And your wife. And your husband. Some people say when they hear the message, they say, my husband should be here today. No. You are here. This message is for you. We always think that the message is for somebody else, isn't it? Tell somebody the message for you today. Isaac knew all the ingredients of worship. I love the kids we have here in the church. Because when they come, they know what to do. They worship the Lord. When they come to a cell group, last Tuesday, my house was packed. And the kids, they were in the balcony. Like a balcony, behind the sofa. You know? And they were worshiping the Lord. What amazing, friends, when we see kids knowing what to do in God's presence. Teach them. Take them with you. It's not a problem to sleep late one day. It's not a problem to go later on a few days. My kids, they are all healthy. We spent hours and hours in God's presence and they were there with us. Can I hear
amen?
Number four. Number three. Number three. Abraham was confident that God would provide everything. Are you asking my son? Are you telling me to kill my son, the son you gave to me? Okay, if you gave to me, you can give me two Isaacs in the afternoon. You can heal him at the immediate time. At the right time, I kill him, you can resurrect him back. You have power to do this. You gave to me, and you wasn't him back, I will give it. When we read, friends, when we read this passage, this verse in James, that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, we don't know the dimension of this friendship. We don't know the dimension, the level of believing Abraham had in God. So let us think about it. So Abraham was confident. Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself.
Amen.
Look at this. He didn't say, God will provide for us. He said, God will provide for himself. Because otherwise, if there is nothing else to kill, you are going to be the lamb. You are going to be in charge. You are going to be in the altar. In that point, Isaac understood he was the sacrifice in that day. And what amazes me is that that boy didn't have any attitude of rebellion. Are you crazy? Are you telling me that if God doesn't provide anything, you're going to kill me? We are going to that place because you said God asked you to kill me? Are you crazy? I'm going to call child protection right now. They will arrest you because you are trying to kill your own son. And the only one, Isaac, was just waiting in the Lord. Lord, I can see fire, I can see wood, but where is the lamb? God will provide for him. When Abraham said, for him, God will provide for God will provide for him. Because when he said he will provide for him, he said this is his business, not mine. My business is just to obey what he said. Provision comes from him. How many times my wife says, sometimes she says it to somebody and laugh a lot. How many times in my prayer I say, Lord, I didn't go to the cross. You did. Why should I provide for himself, for myself? Why should I need to provide for the church? Please, we need to pay this today, Lord. Please. I didn't go to the cross. You did. This is your business. This is your bill. This is your commitment. Not mine. Friend, when we say things are ours, we have to provide it. But Abraham said, God will provide for himself. He transferred that problem for God. He asked, now he will provide. Amen?
Amen.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
Okay? So, understanding or not, we must obey anyway. That's unconditional. Abraham wished to be a man of faith. And that's why God called him, he is my friend. He is my friend. You are going to be called friend of God when you obey him. Can I hear
amen?
And when we say obeying God is doing something, sometimes doing something crazy for him. Because just obeying in a normal, in a flat level, it doesn't mean too much. It doesn't mean too much. But when you have to do something that you never did before, but you were designated to do for the first time, believe in God. Because if God asked you to do that, just do it. Just do it. This word doesn't belong to Nike. Belong to God. Just do it. Just do it. Amen?
Amen?
So when Abraham heard about it, he was very confident. God, my son, God will provide for him the lamb. Amen? Number four, and the last one. Abraham lifted his eyes and he actually saw the provision. Look at verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes. Are you there? And looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. One more time, I love the word. The Bible says, he lit his eyes. If you live your life like a hen, like a chicken, just looking down, down, you'll never see any provision. If you want to see provision, lift up your eyes. David said it in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes into the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? You have to lift up your eyes to see God's provision. And lifting up your eyes means attitude. Say with me, attitude. If you behave yourself like a chicken scratching the ground, I can't see anything. You'll never see anything down there. But when you behave yourself like an eagle, can you see a big eagle with a big belly like this? You can see everything. Because your eyes are already there. In a high place. Put your eyes in a high place and you're going to see miracle.
Amen?
When you just scratch the ground, you'll never get there. Blessings will never come. Victory will never come. Your son will never come to Jesus. Your husband will never come to church. Your wife is going to be despising you. Your boss is going to fire you just because you don't see anything scratching the ground. Behave yourself like an eagle. Say with me, like an eagle. With the big wings. And see things from above. And God's going to show you all his plans. All his provision. Let me tell you some good news. For everything in your life, God already prepared everything, even the results. Because he knows your limitation. He knows your limitation. He knows your boundaries. He knows your own structure. So God, 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, God will never tempt you. God will never allow you to go into temptation beyond your capacity to overcome. He's not a stupid God. He's a wise God. When he allows you to go to be tested is because he knows you can do it. He knows you can overcome it. Amen? So when you fail, don't blame God. Because the situation you were in, God allowed it to increase your faith. And for some reason, you failed. Don't blame him. Blame yourself. And ask God for the next opportunity. The next time, don't feel, you know, discouraged. Don't say, oh, Lord, I can't do this, I can't do this. Stop scratching the ground. Could you tell it to somebody? Stop scratching the ground.
Stop scratching the ground.
I rebuke every... Abraham obeyed the Lord with no restriction, and he saw the provision. In the moment he was about to kill his son, God said, Abraham, don't do this! I like that voice. Abraham, don't do this! No! Now I know you can obey me in anything. See there, there's a provision for you. Just grab that lamb there. I left there, tied up in the bush. Just grab it and kill it in your son's place. Amen? He saw the provision when he said, God will provide for himself. Because in the end of the day, everything I do is for him. Amen?
Amen.
Understanding or not, obedience is the key to live a happy life. If you want to understand, friends, I could be here telling you seven paths, seven keys to get rich. Well, maybe this room could be packed. Five secrets for us to become rich, to have a good life. Could be packed. But the lesson is, when I decide to kill myself for my obedience, I'm deciding to die that God may come and do his provision in my life. When you are available to put yourself down for Christ to rise up in you, you are available to receive a great blessing. Humble yourself and be called a friend of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to say again, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The question is, are you in this position? Are you in this duty to obey God's will no matter what? Or are you still, oh Lord, if you explain everything to me, I'm going to think about it. Maybe I'm going to do this. This is not faith, friends. This is not faith. Faith is when you say, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I will do this. Because I know it's the best thing for me. By the way, Abraham didn't kill his son, and he became a great nation.
Amen.
Israel. And nobody, listen to this, nobody, look at the TV, BBC, ITV, ITV News, BBC News, nobody can stand against Israel. Nobody. Those who try it, they are defeated. A country in terms of geographical size is like this. But nobody can stand upon them. Why? Because God said, Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. In you, Abraham, I will bless every family in the world. Are you blessed today?
Amen.
Are you?
Yes. Amen.
It's because Abraham transferred this blessing that came through him and touched your life, touched your family. So follow this stuff. Be obedient. Bring your kid always to the Lord. Teach them the word of God. Believe that God will provide. And lift up your eyes, because your provision comes from there, not from there. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's all stand up, please. Teaching us in how to live a good life. know, what a great discovery when we realize that a good life doesn't come with money or any human status, but comes by obedience to your will. Thank you, Jesus. Because you are the same God. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God today. Is our God. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, revealing us your secret, your desire. Bless every single one in this room.